It would be a tragic irony if the Jewish state, which was intended to solve the problem of anti-Semitism, was to become a factor in the rise of anti-Semitism. Israelis must be aware that the price of their misconduct is paid not only by them, but also Jews throughout the world. If the Gentile me had been the author of those words, I'd have been condemned and reviled by hardcore Zionists as a rabid anti-Semite. They are actually the words of Jehoshaphat Hakabi. Who was he? Israel's longest-serving director of military intelligence. He wrote them in a book published in 1986 with the title Israel's Fateful Hour. In it, he called upon Israel's leaders to stop demonizing Arafat and his PLO and do business with it. Now, before I introduce our panel, I must welcome our studio audience of all faiths and none, and of course our television audience. Welcome to you all. Now, I'm going to do my best to see that this debate generates more light than heat. But how successful I can be will depend to a great extent on the passions of the panel and the studio audience. My hope is that I'll be assisted to get far beyond propaganda and give reality and reason a fair hearing. And I recommend that we all take President Obama's advice and listen to each other. Now, I've got the pleasure of introducing my panel, and there's an old English tradition that it's ladies first. Carol Gould is an American who has lived and worked in the UK for many years. She's worked in television on both network dramas and documentaries. She's also an author. Her latest book is Don't Tread on Me, Anti-Americanism Abroad. I hope she won't think I'm treading on her if I reveal that her starting position was that she would not be seen, alive or dead, in the same room as another of our panelists. That she is here with him might be a sign of hope. Jonathan Hoffman is the co-vice chair of the Zionist Federation of the UK and Ireland, which was established in 1899 and played a significant role in securing the Balfour Declaration. The Federation says there are 120 organizations under its umbrella, and it claims over 50,000 affiliated members. Professor Ilan Pappi is Israel's leading revisionist historian. His books include The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. He is much in demand around the world for lectures and debates, all of which explains why he is at the very top of Zionism's official shit list, S-H-I-T, standing for Self-Hating Israeli Traitor. Dr. Hayo Meyer is a Nazi Holocaust survivor. He was born in Germany in 1924. At the age of 14, he fled on his own to the Netherlands to escape the Nazis. When they occupied the Netherlands, he served in the Jewish underground, was captured by the Gestapo, and transported to Auschwitz. I know of nobody else who can speak with more authority on the subject of anti-Semitism than Hayo. His books include An Ethical Tradition Betrayed, The End of Judaism. Welcome to you all. Before we come to business, I must explain the headline title I gave to this debate, Anti-Semitism Rising, Why? It was inspired, perhaps I should say provoked, by three statements made in the wake of Israel's war on the Gaza Strip and the almost universal condemnation of it. Anti-Semitism is back. That was the statement of Richard Pasquier, the head of the Council of Jewish Representatives of France. He was speaking at a dinner for French politicians. Quote, hatred of Jews has reached new heights in Europe and many points south and east of the old continent, unquote. That was Dennis McShane, a British MP and former minister, writing in the Washington Post. Quote, Europe is poisoned by anti-Semitism we thought had been dispatched to history's dustbin, unquote. That was Rupert Murdoch addressing a gathering of Jewish Americans. Something is obviously rising, but what really is it? That's the question for this part of the discussion and debate. Is it anti-Semitism, prejudice against and even hatred of Jews as Jews, wherever they are? Or is it something else? What could be described as anti-Israelism, or perhaps more accurately, anti-Zionism, and therefore not a manifestation of anti-Semitism? In my view, understanding is assisted by the complete Huckabee warning quote, and I propose to read it to you. Israel is the criterion according to which all Jews will tend to be judged. Israel as a Jewish state is an example of the Jewish character, which finds free and concentrated expression within it. Anti-Semitism has deep and historical roots. Nevertheless, any flaw in Israeli conduct is likely to be transformed into empirical proof of the validity of anti-Semitism. It would be a tragic irony if the Jewish state, which was intended to solve the problem of anti-Semitism, was to become a factor in the rise of anti-Semitism. Israelis must be aware that the price of their misconduct is paid not only by them, but also Jews throughout the world. Jonathan Hoffman, first to you. What do you think is rising? Is it anti-Semitism or only criticism of and opposition to Israel's actions and policies?
Well, I think that anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism are one of the same thing. You only need to look at the European Monitoring Committee definition of anti-Semitism, now called the Fundamental Rights Agency, which says that denying the Jewish people their right to self-determination, e.g. by claiming that the State of Israel is a racist endeavour, is in fact anti-Semitic. The fact is that 40% of the world's Jews live in Israel. The fact is Israel is 80% Jewish, and so to deny the Jews their right to a state, and indeed to deny the Israelis their right to defend that state from terrorists, is anti-Semitic. So, you know, there really is no difference
between
the two.
There's no difference, is what you're saying, Jonathan. Carroll?
I don't see any difference whatsoever in the level of anti-Semitism, despite all of these distinguished people you've quoted. I don't have to agree with any of them. From the day I arrived here in 1976 to now, people have said things to me, and I'm talking just on a grassroots level, that have been so breathtaking to me, because I grew up in a country where for your average non-Jewish person never said such things to Jewish people. I think Britain is more anti-Semitic, has more anti-Semitism than the United States and some other countries.
So you think anti-Semitism is on the rampage?
When Jonathan Sachs says we're in a tsunami of anti-Semitism, I think he's been living in his ivory tower.
Okay.
I don't see any difference. It has always been here, and it was here long before the establishment of the State of Israel. It was here in the world long before the establishment of the State of Israel.
All right, Ilan, what about the point that anti-Semitism and anti-Israelism or are one and the same?
No, I don't think they are the same. I think anti-Semitism is a hatred of someone because of who he or she are. Anti-Zionism is an objection to someone because of the views they have on a certain reality, which is very different. I think it's only people who don't realize how rich and complex Judaism is can equate the very reductionist ideology of Zionism with Judaism. I mean, so if someone is against the Jews, it is someone who really has a theological, a moral, a racist point of view. If someone is against Zionism, then someone is against a certain regime and a certain ideology. One can agree with that ideology, one can disagree with that ideology, but I think putting them together is a ploy by people who want to protect that ideology from the valid criticism it receives.
Hayo, before I come to you, can I put another sort of angle on this? Is not the real key to understanding knowledge of the difference between Judaism and Zionism, which is what Ilan was referring to, Judaism being the religion of Jews, and which, like Christianity and Islam, has built on moral code and ethical principles, whereas Zionism is a sectarian colonial enterprise which made and continues to make a mockery of Judaism's moral values. Isn't that really the key to the difference?
That's why I am very much against the fact that Israel calls itself a Jewish state. Judaism is as well defined or as little defined as Christianism. You can be Protestant, you can be Catholic, you can be Protestant of various factions, etc. And that's the same with Judaism. Political Zionism knows only one goal, maximum as it is really existing since 48, that is maximum of area in Palestine with a minimum of Palestinians. And I want just one more remark. There is a big paradigm shift in the definition of anti-Semitism, and I will give it. Before 1948, an anti-Semit was somebody, like Ilan said, who did not like Jews. Nowadays, since 48, an anti-Semit is someone who some prominent Jews, or who put themselves in a prominent position, do not like. And that is completely different. And that's why it is on the rise.
Right. Carol, let's come back to a point you made, that it's always been there, anti-Semitism. I'm going to make a controversial statement to get you to discuss it. I think there's a case for saying that after the obscenity of the Nazi Holocaust, and because of it, the sleeping giant which came awake under Nazism of anti-Semitism might well have gone back to sleep, stayed asleep, and possibly had died in its sleep if the major powers had not allowed Zionism to have its way. Now, I'm putting that forward as a proposition for you to comment on.
Absolutely not. I mean, first of all, there is no such thing as anti-Semitism being a sleeping giant. I mean, you know, no offense, Alan, but you're not Jewish. When you're born Jewish and you're raised Jewish, in the same way if you're born Muslim or black, you encounter Islamophobia, you encounter racism. You haven't. You're what I call a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. Bless you. You haven't gone to kindergarten, and the first thing the kids say is, do you have horns? So anti-Semitism, when I was in school in 1958, was as strong as it was 50 years before, or 100 years before, when my grandparents were in the pogroms, were in the Pale of Settlement in Russia.
Okay. Jonathan, by your definition, there is no difference between anti-Semitism. I am passionately anti-Israel's current policies. Does that make me anti-Semitic?
Look, it's not my definition, it's the European Union Monitoring Committee's definition. That is 27 states, that is the representative of 27 states who have signed up to it.
I'm afraid that the former speaker is not aware what anti-Semitism is, was, and can be. I think I am justified to say I do know. And anti-Semitism has gone through many, many, many paradigm shifts. For instance, it was we at first anti-Judaism. That was until about 1100, until the fourth concile of Mitterrand or something. Okay, then the Jews were really discriminated by the church, and that was anti-Judaism. Anti-Semitism is a completely new development from 1879 on, and it exploded, rightly, but there were very, very, very good signs that it might have been eliminated by taking up the Jews who adapted to their surroundings, and especially in mid-Europe by the Reformed Judaism, where they changed the most irritating parts of Judaism, and they were very successful there. They were very successful in the United States, and before the Second World War, the United States were also large communities of Reformed Judaism who put forward at the center of Judaism its ethic content, and that has unfortunately been forgotten by the Zionists.
Can I ask you to comment as you wish, but could you also give what you think is a sane, sensible definition of anti-Semitism today?
Yes, but first, before I'll do that, I don't think there is a an apparent contradiction between the fact that anti-Semitism is there, it's a latent anti-Semitism, there is a direct anti-Semitism, there was anti-Semitism before the rise of Zionism, and there is anti-Semitism after the rise of Zionism. I think what you were putting in is rather the equation, not the equation, but the explanation that says that anti-Semitism, because of the rise of liberal democracies in the West and the globalization processes elsewhere, was dying out. Had a good chance of not disappearing totally, but being less present. Undoubtedly, the creation of the State of Israel, but especially the policies of the State of Israel, and the recruitment of Jews around the world as self-ambassadors and self-ambassadress of the State of Israel, the transformation of synagogues into Israeli embassies, have definitely created an inevitable rise of anti-Semitism. Because if you are a young, angry Muslim in France, or if you are a leftist activist in Britain who doesn't like Israeli policies, and you don't have to go all the way to London to demonstrate against the Israeli embassy, because the synagogue next door has an Israeli flag on it. So by its own recruitment, it creates this unholy association between Israeli policies and Judaism. And I think there's nothing. There's no connection whatsoever between what I understand is Judaism and Israeli policies. Now, to your question about anti-Semitism, I agree with Hayo. I think anti-Semitism is a modern phenomenon. I do think, however, it has medieval origins as well. We have to remember the Crusade period and so on.
Yes,
but I think the one thing which is very clear is that nationalism, which arrived in Europe late in the day, in the 18th century and later in the 19th century, nationalism, which is the curse, to my mind, of humanity, nationalism needs another person to identify yourself. You need another. And the other is usually demonized in order to idealize yourself. And for so many people in Europe, Jews were the, before colonialism, Jews were the proof that there is something else which is not there. Now the Jews in Israel are doing the same to the Palestinians.
Alan, I must... there's something that Ilan has said, because he grew up in Israel, that has to be said here. You talked about synagogues and Israeli embassies. And in the United States, where I grew up, 85% of Jews are liberal. They're part of the progressive movement. They are liberal or the progressive movement. So in other words, not Orthodox. But they still support Israel. And they have the ethical beliefs of the liberal movement. And the, you know, there's not such thing as a synagogue means you're going to be supporting Israel. A lot of those people are secular. They don't go to synagogues.
Why
it doesn't fit together. It doesn't fit together.
And why do they pray for the State of Israel in the synagogue?
What is wrong with displaying the Israeli flag? When I meet a Canadian hitchhiker with a rucksack, they inevitably have a Canadian flag on their back. What is wrong with displaying the Israeli flag? Israel has been a fully legitimate state for 61 years. It is the only state which has full legitimacy, because it's the only state which was voted in by the United Nations. Israel is on the brink of entering the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. Why should we not be proud of Israel? And why should we not feel free to display the Israeli flag? It's an absolute nonsense.
Jonathan, I must just correct you on a point of history, but you need to have read my book to know it. The legitimacy that Israel claims does not exist. There was only a General Assembly resolution. It didn't become law to give Israel legitimacy until it went to the Security Council. It never went to the Security Council.
The mandate was ended, and they decided partition by 33 votes to 13.
All right, so you're saying I'm wrong. I'll accept that.
Israel has every
legitimacy. I want to move us on to put another question into the minds of the audience as well. The core essence of Zionism comes down to this, and Carol and Jonathan will correct me if I'm wrong. Given the persecution of Jews on and off for 2,000 years and the obscenity of the Nazi Holocaust, Israel must exist to be a refuge of last resort for Jews from everywhere. The question that begs is, even at the expense of ethnically cleansing the Palestinians and damaging, if not destroying, the moral fabric of Judaism. How would you answer that?
How can there be ethnic cleansing when there are 1.5 million Muslims living inside Israel? With mosques,
The best person to answer that is you.
Lovely schools. I've been there. I've watched Muslim men and Jewish men in Haifa and Yafo playing cards, playing chess, having a nice time, running cafes. I've had a lovely pizza in a lovely Muslim restaurant in Jerusalem. This is ethnic cleansing?
Eileen, yes. You've been asked, how can
yes,
there be ethnic
I will
cleansing?
Answer. I will answer. Had there not been ethnic cleansing in 1948, today, in what is Israel, we would have had 7 million Palestinians. So that's why we have ethnic cleansing. Had there not been ethnic cleansing in the greater Jerusalem area, we would have had today 1 million Palestinians instead of the 200,000 Palestinians. Had there not been ethnic cleansing in the city of Hebron, we would have had today 150,000 people living in Hebron
and Elon,
instead of 20,000. Had there not been ethnic cleansing, had there not been ethnic cleansing in Palestine, there would not have been 5 million Palestinian refugees.
And what about all the Jews? What about all of the Jews who were driven out of Muslim countries? And today, Yemen is soon going to be Judenrein. Most Muslim countries are Judenrein. And in Gaza, the last of the Jews were thrown out. Otherwise, the whole world would have been up in arms. But there are 1.5 million Muslims living inside Israel happily. But no Jews can live in Gaza. That's not ethnic cleansing?
I would ask also you to read, please, Ephraim Karsh. Ephraim Karsh's history, which has used the papers which have been recently made available, says that only a handful of the 180,000 Arabs fleeing urban centres in 1948 and only a handful of the 160,000 villagers who left their homes were forced out by the Jews. Most Palestinians at that time left because their leaders told them to. They expected to come back. There were
Jonathan, with respect, that myth has been debunked and debunked and debunked. Enough nonsense, Jonathan.
Look at Ephraim.
Most of the most Israeli historians don't even say that anymore, so we can move on with that. I mean, this is now an established fact. Even Israeli historians teach the students that Palestinians were expelled. The only debate in Israel is not whether Palestinians were expelled or not. The only debate in Israel is about the moral implication of that ethnic cleansing. Ethnic cleansing is not even denied in the state of Israel. Apparently in some Zionist enclaves in Britain it still is, but this will also change.
Let's read Benny Morris's a criticism of Ilan Pape's history of modern Palestine. He says, unfortunately, much of what Pape tries to sell his readers is complete fabrication. So that is the history.
I will give you another Benny Morris quote. It's a pity we weren't more ruthless in driving more of them out.
Here is the book by Ephraim Karsh. Yeah. If you can see this, I'll give it to you afterwards. That this book is called Fabricated Israeli History.
The book is there.
The New Historians.
Let Hayo have a word, please.
Benny Morris should be called Benny Morrill, because he had the nerve to write that if we had only just a bit longer gone on with the ethnic cleansing, we wouldn't have the problem with the Palestinians now. He calls them, obviously, Israeli Arabs. But I say, dear Mr. Morrill, if Hitler had done his job better, there would be no problem.
That is a myth.
Well done.
For the people watching, that is not what Benny
said. Let me tell you what confuses me. The Nazis wanted Jews out of Germany. Yes. Zionism wanted Arabs out of Palestine.
That is not the difference.
The Nazis liquidated Jews from 17 countries, and Eichmann had a list of 14 million Jews, down to probably your parents. Every Jew in the world, he had a neat list of 14 million in every corner of the earth that he was going to exterminate if the Allies hadn't won the war. It wasn't just Nazis wanting to get Jews out of Germany.
Yeah, one is
We're talking about a gigantic genocide. The total annihilation of the Jews.
I would refer the viewers and the audience to the recent BBC Trust ruling about Jeremy Bowen. Jeremy Bowen wrote on the BBC site that Zionism had an inevitable enlarging tendency.
The BBC Trust spent many months
looking at it, and they found that that was wrong.
Jonathan, we've got to pause there. We must now pause for a short break. When we come back, it'll be over to the audience. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're now going to throw this open to the audience. Who's got the first question?
My name is Howard Lewis. I have a question for Ilan. Ilan, can you think of any anti-Semite throughout history who has not tried to justify their views by reference to something that the Jews had done or reputed to have done?
Anti-Semites definitely refer to things the Jews have done. I do agree. I think that anti-Semitism is now the main shield that Israel employs in order to protect criminal policies against the Palestinians, and had been doing this since 1948. And I think for the sake of Jews around the world, for the sake of Jews in Israel, and of course for the sake of the Palestinians, this kind of employment of anti-Semitism should cease, and the Israelis should try and explain to us why expelling people is legitimate, why destroying houses is morally correct, why occupation that lasts more than 40 years is acceptable, why discrimination of other people just because they are Arabs is acceptable. And let's take this debate about the Israeli policy outside the realm of anti-Semitism. This is in the realm of human rights, civil rights, and decent behavior.
Yeah. Very briefly. I mean, of course, the idea that Israel somehow tries to use the charge of anti-Semitism in order to suppress or deflect criticism of Israel is absolute nonsense, and I challenge anybody to give an example of that. The allegation that they do that is itself anti-Semitic, because it denies the rights of Jews to claim that they are being racially discriminated against.
Jonathan,
why
you
should Jews not have the right to be
Jonathan,
racially discriminated against?
Let's have
why should Muslims
the audience,
have the right
please.
To be racially discriminated and not Jews? That in itself is an anti-Semitic argument.
Let's have another more audience, please.
I'd like to ask the panel if they see any parallel between the occupation of Palestine, the West Bank, by Israel, and the apartheid regime in South Africa.
Can I just say that's the Reverend Stephen Sizer who asked that question, who's an expert on Christian
Can
Zionism.
Can I just say that I've just edited a book which compares the two and will come out very soon with Ivy Torres. We all want to throw in our books published in recent. It's a group of 10 scholars, and they find resemblance and comparative material on every possible level, historically, morally, politically, and hopefully also in ending find a parallel from the way the apartheid regime ended, with hopeful signs of reconciliation in Israel and Palestine. So I think the short answer is yes. The more extended answer is in the book.
The idea that Israel is acting in an apartheid way is complete and absolute nonsense. I refer you to a charity called Save a Child's Heart, which gives free state-of-the-art open heart surgery to underprivileged children. More than half of the children it's treated have been Palestinian. In Israeli hospitals you would find victims of Gaza being treated alongside Israeli casualties. The association is nonsense. As far as human rights are concerned, yes, Jews are obviously have been in the forefront of the concern about human rights over the years, and that has been exemplified, in fact was exemplified by the fact.
I've here a report from the Israeli Doctors for Human Rights and Medicine for Human Rights, and in this report they say that it lasted 21 days before anybody of the wounded people who were murdered or heavily wounded in Gaza were allowed to pass into hospitals, and only after one very famous Palestinian psychiatrist was murdered, and he had been, the day before he had been on television, then they started to open hospital where the wounded, after 21 days. Oh. And don't forget one more. I saw on television children without arms crying next to their dead parents, and the Israeli soldiers went past and didn't move a finger.
My name is David Jacobs. I'm retired. I would like to say what Zionism is. It arose in the late 19th century alongside all the other movements for Jewish, for national self-determination of many people. So the movement of Jewish national self-determination, like that of other peoples. So if you're an anti-Zionist, you say that Jews have no right whatsoever to be equal to other peoples, to have their own movement for national self-determination.
So you're saying that anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism are one and the same?
I'm not. I'm asking you that. You're saying this.
No, I'm saying they are not one and the same. That's my personal view.
Well, it's a much wider range. For instance, anti-Semitism throughout history, and don't forget it was Wilhelm Marr in Germany in the 1870s who coined the word anti-Semitismus instead of the coarser German term Judenhass, Jew hatred. But it always existed, Jew hatred. It's sometimes directed on the religion, sometimes on the race, sometimes on the people, and sometimes on the state. What you've got at the moment is directed on the Jewish state. The people are saying the Jews do not have the right to their own state.
With respect, I don't think that's what people are saying.
I'm just finishing.
No, you can't, because that's not what people are saying, David. Elan, respond to that.
Yes, I would say that definitely Zionism began as a movement answering the impulse of people for self-determination. I fully agree with it. I think the moment the people of that movement chose Palestine, which was inhabited by other people, as their homeland, Zionism transformed from a national project into a colonialist project. Not the only one. There were many other colonialist projects. The only difference is that all the other colonialist projects were decolonized. There is a closure to colonialism. The only abnormal colonialist project still existing in the world in the 21st century is unfortunately the Jewish state. So we cannot just treat the Jewish state as an embodiment of the Jewish right for self-determination. We have to treat the Jewish state as the last colonialist project still active in colonizing Palestine, because the project has not ended. Right.
My name is Antoine Raffoul. I am coordinator of 1948, lest we forget. My question is to Mr. Hoffman. If the statement that Jews are paying the price of Israel's actions or inactions in the Palestinian territories, have you forgotten that the Palestinians have been paying a massive price for 60 years, with 5 million of them expelled and many millions within the territories who have been killed every day, the last of which are the people in Gaza? Can you tell me it is only the Jews who are paying the price, or also the Palestinians?
I say again, and I've said it several times, but I will repeat it, firstly, the land that the Jews lived in Palestine was either bought or there was nobody there. Only a fraction of the number of people, Palestinians, who left Palestine was the fault of the Jews. A lot of them left because of their own leaders. So I simply do not accept that the State of Israel was set up to the detriment of the Palestinians.
Right,
and indeed, the current Israeli government,
we'll see this
in a speech by Netanyahu on Sunday, wants to have a two-state solution.
Right, Jonathan, we'll leave it there. We must go to other questions. Lady in the middle.
My name is Hadia. I just wanted to quote something from Ahad Ham, who wrote in 1891 an essay on the truth from Eretz Israel. In Palestine, it is hard to find tillable land. You just said that they bought it all. But this is a Jewish person writing. It is hard to find tillable land that is not already tilled. From abroad, we are accustomed to believing that the Arabs are all desert savages, like donkeys. But this is a big mistake. They do not see our present activities as a threat to their future. However, if the time comes when the life of our people in Eretz Israel develops to the point of encroaching upon the native population, they will not easily yield their place. They did not easily yield their place. They stayed. It was Irgun and Stern Gang and those terrorist activities which forced the Palestinian people to leave.
There are millions of Israelis. I want to talk to the lady who just read that quote.
Oh my God.
There are millions of Israelis who want to live in peace with Arabs. There are millions of Jews around the world. You're constantly quoting these little nasty little things that are in the gross minority. There is a big peace movement in Israel.
Well,
there is,
one day it will be visible enough for us to see it.
Which is that there has always been a peace movement in Israel.
These quotations all need to be modified. Let's stop this propaganda, please.
Fabricating quotations.
I want a question from Dr. Kamal Helbawi, please.
Thank you very much, Alan. My name is Dr. Helbawi. I am the ex-spokesman of Muslim Brotherhood in the West.
And oh, the so chairman you're a really bad guy.
Of the Center for Study of Terrorism. First of all, if the German concentration camps killed 6 million Jews, how are we going to solve the problem of Jews on the coast of Palestinians? Secondly, we are ready to accept all Jews who were in Arab countries and Muslim countries and welcome them back to live among us. But let the West take the Jews who came from there. Thirdly, why are we trying to steal the terminology anti-Semitism and confine it only to Jews? Are Arabs not Semitics?
Yes.
Are Amharic not Semitics? Are Ethiopians not Semitics?
Yes, if you
this
are
is,
true...
This is a theft, as Jonathan is trying to do.
Well, if you are truly anti-Semitic, you hate Jews and Arabs.
No, that is not true.
You are stealing the terminology.
I'm sorry, that is not true. You have to distinguish between anti-Semitism without the hyphen in, which is a word which means hatred of Jews, and anti-Semitism with a hyphen, which includes Arabs.
Yes.
So that is the way the word is spelled. In fact, on that poster over there, it's spelled wrong.
That's enough. I want the guy in the glass, please.
The prisons. And how many prisoners are in the Jews' prisons?
All right, I want to make two points.
My name's Tony Greenstein. The first is that when Zionism arose at the end of the 19th century, the major opposition to Zionism came from Jewish people themselves. The second point I want to make, it's a question to the panel.
Irrelevant.
Israel was established as a Jewish state. We all agree with that. In the area allotted by the UN to the Jewish state, about 50% of those who lived there were non-Jewish. That is why it was inevitable if you could have a Jewish state, you had to transfer people out of it. You had to expel
them. Well, why
them.
Haven't they transferred out the 1.5 million that
they were the ones
there?
Who were left, of course.
Why is the Nazis 61 not years? Everyone? Why have the Jews
one,
not
one possible answer to that is give them time and they will, I think.
I would like to answer the question about the opposition from Jews. Yes, there was opposition from Jews to the state of Israel. That is great. But with the Shoah, with the Holocaust, which murdered 6 million Jews, that opposition melted away completely. And there was universal support for the establishment of the state of Israel in 1947.
All right, that's enough. I want the gentleman with the collar.
My name is Gerald Adler. I'm an ex-lawyer from Israel, and I've been doing research in the Arab-Israeli conflict from the legal aspects. I would like to ask our learned historian if he's talking about the cleansing. Why does he not also refer to the fact that many, many Palestinians, in fact, are not indigenous, but escaped from Egypt, A, during Abraham's compulsory army service. Egyptians were also escaping as a result of the Suez Canal construction, which was again compulsory labor. And of course, many other Arabs were allowed in by the British without restriction. And on the other hand, Jews were restricted. Consequently, I would ask you the balance, which you assume is that the Jews have ethnic cleanses, would have been different. Had the Jews been permitted to go in and the Arabs had been stayed out, as the Balfour Declaration and the Treaty of Sèvres indicated, that the whole purpose of the Treaty of Sèvres was that Palestine was to be a Jewish homeland.
Okay, so you made your point.
Can I answer? Yep. First of all, I think this myth about the Palestinians not being the indigenous people of Palestine was first commodified by a woman called Joan Peters in a supposedly scholarly book that was only sold in the Israeli embassies. And to the credit of Israeli historians who are not my cup of tea, such as Yoshua Porat, they totally tore this thesis apart. This is nonsense. The Palestinians were the indigenous people of Palestine in the last 1,000 years. It is true that during the time of Muhammad Ali, which is 9 years rule, several 10,000 to 15,000 people came as forced labor and stayed in two villages out of 1,000. As for the British policy of allowing people in, 30,000 people were allowed to immigrate from Syria and in Egypt as laborers to Palestine and stay there, 30,000 out of 2 million, whereas the British have allowed more than 1.5 million Jews to enter Palestine. So I think that actually if there is a balance sheet here, it is against the Palestinians and in favor of Zionism. Just one important point. Zionism as a movement until the Holocaust, and everybody agrees, I think everybody said it here in so many words, until the Holocaust, Zionism failed to convince Jews to come to Palestine. Why should Jews of Europe come to Palestine before the Holocaust? They wouldn't, and they couldn't, and they didn't want to. Now, after the Holocaust, of course, there were more Jews that wanted to come, but even then, if you think about it, after the Holocaust, Jews were not coming to Palestine. And after the Soviet Union collapsed, Israel had to have this deal with Austria and the United States that would not allow Russian Jews to consider the options of America and to come directly to Israel. There is a fallacy here and that we have to face. The fallacy is that most of the Jews in the liberal world think that a liberal democracy is the best answer to Nazism, whereas the extreme nationalism of Judaism doesn't seem to be the right answer.
Well, this is not true. In the mid-1930s, there were 135,000 Jews in Palestine, and they kept coming before the Second World War.
Out of 12 million. Wow, what a number.
Palestine before the Second World War is an absolute myth.
I think it's 2%.
I want to question the gentleman with the dog collar.
Much of what Pape tries to tell his readers is a complete fabrication. That's what Benny Morris said.
There's virtually none left in Europe.
Complete fabrication.
A brief question for Miss Gold. She mentioned the nasty bits which are extrapolated about the State of Israel. I wonder what she thinks about the nasty, very nasty bit of a member of Israeli government which threatened Shoah, Holocaust, on the people of Gaza. Only a few months ago.
Yes, and he is in a tiny minority. He is in a tiny minority. He does not represent Israelis. He does not represent the majority of Israelis.
He's a member of a government.
He does not represent them any more than Nick Griffin represents.
He's not a member of a British government, is he?
Any more than anyone who makes a racist comment represents the British government. He does not
He's not a member of Israel. He's a member of Israeli government. The point is made.
Let's have a question from the lady in the front row here with the shirt.
Hello, my name is Sarah Apps. I'm from Labour Friends of Palestine and the Middle East. I wanted to ask, we've talked a lot about anti-Semitism against Jews. Would you like to reflect on whether or not there's anti-Arab feeling, anti-Palestinian feeling within Israel? And if so, how widespread it is?
I think that there is, to be fair, there is an escalation in the anti-Arab discourse in Israel. Just the other day, we could read a declaration of Israeli mayors saying that they would like to see Arabs taken out of their cities. There is a discourse of anti-Arabism and anti-Palestinianism embedded in the Israeli educational system. It's part of the public discourse. Even those people who are considered to be the leaders of the Israeli left, such as A.B. Yoshua, say very honestly, what we would like to have is an exclusive Jewish life. We are willing to give up all the territories even, provided that we would live only with Jews. The fact that someone like A.B. Yoshua does not understand the racist nature of his remarks, especially after the Holocaust, shows you how blind Israelis are to the reality in which they live, which is the success of the project, unfortunately, after 60. It is racist not to live with the indigenous people of Palestine in the same land of Palestine. It's racist enough to say to immigrants, we don't want you. But it's even more racist to say to the indigenous people who were born in Haifa, listen, you better live outside Israel so that I could have Haifa for myself.
But Elon,
this is pure racism. Okay.
We had okay, the idea, the no, idea no, that I'm coming to you with the idea that Israel hates Palestinians is a complete myth. And the idea that Israelis teach their children to hate is a complete myth. It's a myth propagated by the Carroll Church who placed 7 Jewish children recently. Israelis do not teach their children to hate.
Jonathan, it would be
helpful. There are issues with Palestinians, with Israeli Arabs, of course, and the Israeli government is trying to deal with those issues through things like the Abraham Fund.
Jonathan, it would be very helpful if you could do something other than Israeli embassy propaganda.
There is a deputy ambassador in Los Angeles who is an Israeli Arab.
The other day,
so this idea that Israelis teach their children to hate is a complete and utter myth.
Yes. The other day, we had in Amsterdam, Nuret Elet, Pellet Elchanan, who is a professor in the University of Tel Aviv, and who is also a pedagogue. And she's, by the way, the daughter of the famous Israeli general Matityahu Pellet. And she was told us a story, an appalling story, that her study of Israeli school books was full of race hatred, and what the Israeli army rabbis write and say to the soldiers, it is all racial hatred.
And the
so let us not pretend that Israel is a holy land.
The best-selling book in the Muslim world is The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, and has been for many years one of the most anti-Semitic tracts ever.
Will Ilan agree to me? The same way as communism was founded by Jewish people, has nothing to do with Judaism. The same way Zionism may have been founded by Jewish people, has nothing to do with Jewishness. And also, I'd like one more thing to confirm. I'm sure happy with the professor here, that Jews in Palestine live side by side in peace and harmony with the Palestinians, and we have clear evidence and documentaries from survivors of the Hebron, which started in Hebron due to the Zionist provocation there, and we have clear evidence of survivors of the. So I was saying how peacefully they live, happily, without any anti-Semitism whatsoever, together with Jews and Palestinians alike, until the Zionists came with their colonization and their racism and with their ethnic cleansing.
That's not true. That is not true. There were many massacres. The Hebron massacre, 1929, there was tremendous tension between Jews and Arabs. They did not live in peace, and there was always been hostility. The then king of the then Iraq said, isn't it wonderful that these Jews from Europe are coming here? These enlightened Jews who know about science and technology to help us with irrigation, with agriculture. It is documented in Pierre Van Passen's book, Days of Our Years.
The idea from the Notori Carter rabbi, I don't know if he is a rabbi, but Zionism has nothing to do with Jews, is absolute nonsense. Jews have lived there for 5,000 years. There's been continuous Jewish habitation in Jerusalem for 5,000 years. The Hebrew language is the land of the Jews. The Jews are a Jewish people, and the Jewish entitlement to Israel is quite clear and was voted again by the United Nations. I would ask the Notori Carter person, what about
rabbis?
The disgusting Notori Carter statement
Zionism?
After the murder of Rabbi Holtzman and his wife in Bombay? The Notori Carter put out a statement.
That's enough. We have to end this program now.
That it was because of the Zionists that they were murdered. No, that was a disgrace.
Back. Now, Jonathan, please, there we must end part one of this debate. Part two in another program, we'll be discussing the prospects for peace in the light of what's been said here, but more in the light of Obama's words. Please join us for that. Till then, from this heart to yours, goodbye.